Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Daryl.
And I'm Taylor.
And this week on the show,
we'll discuss Major League Soccer. Love it or hate it, at least it's better run than the NHL.
We'll bring you more seemingly fake news, this week featuring a wizard curse in Spain, mysteriously shrinking goals in Sweden, and much, much more.
Plus, we'll list our top five favorite foreign MLS players, none of which will be David Beckham.
And last but not least, we'll close with a spelling bee, this week featuring Major League Soccer players. Alright, so this is our ninth show, the ninth episode of the Total Football Soccer Show.
Woohoo!
And we've been getting a bit of feedback. We get emails to soccer@wrar.org, which we're always happy to get. We post the show as a podcast on a blog at podcast.theoffside.com, and we get comments on there. And apparently people just run into Taylor at weddings and tell him about the show as well.
Yeah, that actually happened a couple times last weekend, and most of the feedback was that it's a good show, but we need to stop talking about England so much.
Yeah, well, the feedback has been good, right?
I mean, yeah,
people
definitely
seem pretty happy with us. But yeah, it seems we've been focusing a little too much on the English Premier League.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair because it's the league we know best, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also other podcasts that talk about the English Premier League. They talk about scores, results, the latest controversy,
right,
whatever
yeah.
it is that week, whether it's Adebayor or Bellamy. So maybe we need to look outside of that a little, right?
Right. I think that's probably the best thing to do because apparently there's a lot of other leagues that need to be covered that we might want to focus on. One of those being our very own domestic league, Major League Soccer.
Yeah, this is a very interesting thing to me is that you and I are both, I think it's fair to say, big soccer fans.
Mm-hmm.
We both live in the United States of America, and yet we don't really follow Major League Soccer
right.
as closely as maybe we should.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe I feel a little guilty about that because I want to be behind soccer in America. So maybe it's worth us having a sort of an honest discussion about why we don't watch Major League Soccer all that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say for me, it starts with the fact that right now, you know, we have 4 weeks left in the regular season.
Yeah.
There are 15 teams in the league. Of those, one is qualified for the playoffs, one has been eliminated. So that leaves 13 teams left to, you know, vie for the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, why really be a diehard supporter all the way if you know that a lot of teams have a chance of making the playoffs?
So that's definitely a problem if the regular season is almost, not mm-hmm. pointless, but it's not the same as in another country, in most other countries, where every regular season game is important because
right.
you have points to win the mm-hmm. win the league. If you fall away too early in the season, you're not going to win the league. Whereas in MLS, you can finish as the eighth best team
yeah.
and still be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And there's another thing, playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, is it just that that's the American system, that's what people were comfortable with, so mm-hmm. that's why they started that in Major League Soccer?
Yeah, that would be my guess, is, you know, we're used to playoffs and, you know, one title game to decide it all, and they're not used to, like, all right, well, that's the end of the season, first place team wins, like
yeah.
it's not the way it works. So,
and the refrain I keep hearing from more committed MLS fans mm-hmm. than myself is single table.
Yeah,
they want to get rid of the two conferences
yeah.
and the playoffs and just have one single table. Every team plays every other team home and away, mm-hmm. and winner takes all.
I'm a supporter of that idea. The problem with that, I think, is that it gets down to TV rights, and you're going to get a lot more money for, you know, one title game than you will for weekly league games with one eventual champion.
And I suppose the other thing that makes Major League Soccer, it makes it hard for the regular season to be interesting, is that there's very rarely, like, a big team.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, a big team that everybody wants to beat.
Yeah, basically, I mean, it comes down to parity. Like, right now, Columbus is the best team in the league. They have 46 points. New York is the worst team in the league. They have 18. You know, that's a pretty big difference, but then most of the other teams are about the same. That's the biggest disparity there is.
Whereas, well, I think, like, maybe Houston fans would take issue with that. I think they're sort of hot on Columbus's heels.
Yeah, yeah, I believe they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, one of us has been looking at the table.
Oh, yeah, 46 to 43 points, whatever. They're still the first place. But, you know, you look at, like, in the EPL, sorry to go back to that, but when Manchester United won last season, they won them with 90 points. West Brom and Middlesbrough, who had the worst point total, was 32. You know, that's a huge difference, and you don't see that here. And I think the main reason for that is because of the way the salary structure is.
Well, I think it's hard to compare the number of points because
yeah.
there's a few more games.
Yeah. yeah.
But I think the thing you're getting at is that, say, last year when Manchester United played West Brom,
mm-hmm.
you knew who was the big team and who was the small team.
Right.
And so, you know, it gives that game a narrative, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's the same in La Liga when
yeah.
Barcelona or Real Madrid mm-hmm. play one of the smaller teams like Xeres or someone.
Yeah.
You know who the big team is, who the small team is. The story is set up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem with Major League Soccer is there's not a narrative in the game. Like, you don't know who the underdog is and right. who the...
Yeah, I mean, like LA, who have some of the bigger names, can go out and win a game 5-1, but then turn around the next week and lose 5-1. You know, it happens fairly consistently. And I think that what you're hitting at is, you know, the big team versus the little team. How does a big team become a big team? Sadly, in this day and age, it's money. And in the MLS, there isn't a whole lot to go around.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to get into this now, the salary cap and all that kind of thing?
Okay, so basically the way it works is that you have 24 players on each team. Of those, only 20 count against the salary cap, which is about $2.3 million a year. By comparison, in the NFL, for 56 players, it's $127 million a year. So there's a slight difference there.
And there's obviously, that's a big disparity.
Right.
But there's also the fact that there's a salary cap is such a huge difference with pretty much every other soccer league around.
Right. And the other difference is that, you know, for other clubs like Manchester United, their players are paid by Manchester United. In MLS, the players are paid by the league, not the club. The only outlier there being the designated player or the Beckham rule.
Yeah, since 2007, we've had the designated player rule where each team can have one player on their roster who... The league will pay them up to $415,000 salary. Then the rest is paid by the club.
So like David Beckham, when he was brought in, much was made of his salary. Really, MLS only pays him $415,000. LA pays $4.5 million. Regardless, you know, between his salary and Landon Donovan, who has a fairly exorbitant one as well. You know,
he's a sort of an exception because he's been grandfathered in. So he gets paid like a designated player without being one.
Right. But their salaries combined, you know, are probably like around $750,000 a year.
Against the salary cap.
So that leaves, you know, about $1.5 million to spend on the rest of their players. It doesn't really afford for the opportunity to build an infrastructure to bring in, you know, even decent players. So you're kind of stuck with a system where you have a couple really great players on one end, and then you have a lot of players that are signed to be cheap, basically.
Yeah, so that means that you can't create a super club
right.
like a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, because if you spend the money on the big players, then you're going to have to cut corners with the rest of the squad, right?
Which is good, because for those who don't know, there has been an American Soccer League before. It was a North American Soccer League, and it folded pretty quickly because there was no spending limits, so... You know, the New York Cosmos could sign the best players in the world, but if you don't have fans coming out to every game, it's going to fold, and you're not going to be able to pay those salaries. So the MLS has done a smart thing to some extent, but it's also done kind of a limiting thing.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, the best thing about Major League Soccer is that it's in business. Do you know what I mean?
True.
I know people get frustrated with the salary cap, and they get frustrated with, like we are, we're frustrated with the no playoff system.
Right.
Sorry, with the playoff system, and we prefer the single table.
Yeah.
But... I think the league are being very smart and just doing what needs to be done.
And I think they didn't originally, because you saw that they actually had to retract at one point. They took away the Miami franchise and the Tampa Bay franchise.
Yeah.
I would argue Tampa Bay probably didn't need a franchise in the first place. Sorry, Florida listeners. But
it's kind of crazy that Miami don't have a team right now.
I'm okay with it. The Dolphins aren't that well supported. The Heat, they all wear white. I don't care. But since then, the expansion teams that they've brought in have been well-researched and well-documented kind of, you know, soccer societies.
Yeah, smart. There have been smart moves for the expansion team.
You know, like, you know, Seattle has sold out a ton of their games. Yeah, they're doing it right. And then the teams, the other clubs that are coming in, you know, Portland and Vancouver, they have...
That's 2011.
Right. They have huge fan bases already existing, and soccer culture is already in place.
Yeah, and there's also Philadelphia Union as the expansion team for 2010.
And they've had a fan group for a while now, yeah?
Yeah, the best thing about Philadelphia is they've had, I think they're called the Sons of Ben. And they've basically been supporters of a football team in Philadelphia, even though one didn't exist. And my favorite thing is I think they used to go to New York games and sort of chant that something like, we've won the same amount of trophies as you, which is zero, even though we don't have a team.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, those clubs are definitely going to be well-supported, but hopefully they're not playing on football fields, which is my other main criticism of the MLS is, like, last week I was going to try to watch a game, and I turned into New York playing somebody, and it was being played on a football field with football lines.
Yeah.
It's kind of distracting. It's helpful to see where the free kick is from, but otherwise...
Yeah, that is one of my favorite things. Well, probably the only good thing about that is when someone hits a shot from distance or a free kick, you know exactly how far it's from.
Yeah, there you go. That is nice. But I remember, like, I was reading the Beckham book that came out this summer.
The Beckham Experiment by Grant Wall.
Thank you.
Available at all good bookstores and some bad ones too.
But for Beckham was the most jarring thing, is playing on football fields and playing on AstroTurf. You know, which is terrible for you if you're a soccer player.
Yeah, I read that book too because I borrowed it from you you'd finished. I think Beckham was sort of shocked that he'd have to play on first the field turf pitches, the artificial turf, and on the can we call it gridiron? Is that
fair to say?
Yeah, with the markings, yeah.
I mean, cute to hear Daryl use American football phrases. It makes me laugh.
What's the preferred term on this show for referring to the other football?
Throwball? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll call it throwball. Even though I love me some Redskins, sadly. But regardless, I don't want to see a soccer team play in their stadium.
The other good thing with Major League Soccer is the teams are slowly getting there.
Yeah, definitely.
The buzzword is soccer-specific stadiums.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, and teams are getting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting good-sized stadiums as well, because I'm thinking of a team like New York Red Bull, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they play in Giant Stadium right now, I think?
They do.
And it's, what, 80,000 seats or something?
And they do not get 80,000 fans.
They do not fit it. They get, what, 15, maybe 20?
About that, yeah.
That can't feel good.
No. And part of soccer, you know, if you watch EPL games or La Liga games, you're going to see, you know, it's the atmosphere. You can hear the crowds chanting and singing, and it really kind of draws you in. And the MLS, you see tons of vacant seats,
yeah,
and you don't hear
space,
a whole lot.
Right?
And it's just kind of like, okay, well, if even their fans don't care, why should I care?
Yeah. But I think, I'm not sure the exact date, but I know the New York team is getting its own stadium.
I want to say next season.
Yes, that should be exciting.
And like Real Salt Lake, Houston has one, Columbus has one, LA has one. So, you know, I mean, they're getting there, slowly but surely.
And this is my thing with MLS, mm-hmm. baby steps, right?
Right.
Every year something's happening. And that's sort of why I'm sort of interested in the league, mm-hmm. is first, it's different. I mean, there's no other league I can think of. Well, maybe the Australian league has similarities. But when you're used to watching Premier League and La Liga and Serie A, it's interesting to see a league that has so many, the best word is quirks, I guess.
Yeah.
Or even problems. But then you slowly see them working through it.
I'm definitely excited to see them work through it because you're seeing them make consistent gains in growth, and it's very exciting. But I do think that it's going to be a very long time before you see MLS really covered by the mainstream media in this country, because it gets back to the idea that Americans are obsessed with being the best and being number one. And if you have other leagues out there that are better that can now be seen on ESPN or Fox Soccer, why watch MLS, which some would consider an inferior league?
Yeah, I suppose you can say the growth of soccer recently, which mm-hmm. I think has definitely been happening.
Yeah.
The fact they gave us a radio show.
Yeah, proof of it, right?
But the growth of that is sort of based on the global popularity mm-hmm. of it. People here watching the Premier League and other leagues like mm-hmm. that. So in a way, that's to the detriment of Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
If they'd done this like 20 years ago when it wasn't so easy to watch foreign leagues, mm-hmm. then you'd have like a captive market where soccer fans mm-hmm. wanted to watch soccer, so they'd watch Major League Soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case, which is a shame, but it's the way it is.
But I think, as you've already alluded to, you know, they're making the right steps.
Yeah.
I would say that MLS is one of the best-run organizations. I'd say that MLS is one of the best-run sports organizations in the United States.
Wow,
that's a bold claim. But yeah, I mean, they're consistently growing. They're choosing where their franchises should go. They're not like hockey, who are giving, you know, Columbus and Nashville their own franchises. You know, they're looking at places that have a history, that want the team, that will support it, and that's where they're putting them, and it's working so far. And I think it'll continue to work. You know, as long as they continue to make growth with the salary cap and with designated players, I could see the MLS eventually becoming a very viable league.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl
and Taylor on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
So last week we introduced a new segment called Seemingly Fake News, where Taylor and myself shared news from the football world that couldn't possibly be true, but actually was.
Yeah.
We kind of enjoyed ourselves doing that, so time to do it again.
Yeah.
Taylor, you can start us off?
Yeah, I'm going to go with R. Kelly news this week.
Who does he play for?
You'll see. Coming from the Qatar Stars League, which doesn't quite get a lot of publicity, mainly because the league is not that great and it's in Qatar. But this week, in a match between Al Gharafa and Al Khor, the referee really needed to use the restroom.
Uh-oh.
And so, waiting for a corner kick, referee Massimo Busaka urinated in the middle of the field.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't even wait for like halftime or full time, just like a corner kick. He relieved himself in the top of the 18.
Like, so while they were waiting to take the corner kick?
Yeah, yeah.
Hats off for bravery. I can't go if anyone's watching.
Yeah, I know, right? Let alone an entire country of people.
Well, I can't top that. but I do have news of a Danish goalkeeper misbehaving himself in the Swedish league.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
His name was Kim Christensen,
right.
And he was playing for IFK Gothenburg. And basically, he cheated. While no one was
not
looking...
not according to him, but yeah.
Yeah, while no one was looking, he... And there's a YouTube video of this. He moved the post. So he kicked in the foot of the post mm-hmm. inwards on both sides.
Right.
So that the sort of the frame of the goal bent inwards and made his goal like 5 or 6 inches smaller.
Yeah, which is, I guess, an intelligent thing to do.
It's genius.
Until you remember that there are cameras pointed at you. So
yeah,
they're going to see you do
so
this.
Genius. Yeah, the referee spotted it during the game, right? Or someone told the referee.
Yeah.
So there's YouTube video of the referee sort of walking over and kicking the post back out.
But then he was asked about it afterwards, and he said, I got the tip from a goalkeeping friend a few years ago, and since then I've done it from time to time, which I love because it's like, one, that's not a tip. That's just here's how to cheat. Enjoy. Yeah. And number two,
I got a tip from Bernie Madoff.
You and a couple other people, I think. Didn't work out too well. But the second thing I love is that his defense is like, well, I've done it before. That's okay.
Yeah, that makes it okay.
Yeah, you know. Oh. Yeah, well, another man who didn't further his reputation in my books was Cristiano Ronaldo. This week in a La Liga match against Tenerife, he was subbed out. He wasn't particularly happy about this. When his coach went to shake his hand, he wouldn't shake his hand. You know, it was a big controversy. And now I think maybe we know the reason, or one of the possible reasons, because it was reported in Spanish newspaper El Mundo that a wizard has cursed Cristiano Ronaldo.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time. According to the letter he wrote, the wizard, I'm not anti-Madrista. I have nothing against this great club. I am a professional and paid very well to use my powers. I've been hired to ensure Cristiano Ronaldo suffers a serious injury.
Wow. He didn't say who had hired him.
No, because, to quote him again, because I'm a mixture of a priest and doctor, I have to respect the confidentiality of my followers. So he couldn't disclose who he was paid by, but he says it's a
Did he say if they had a Scottish accent?
How dare you? How dare you, sir? He would never do that. But what we have learned is that it's a step-by-step process, and it depends on various factors, so the result you are looking for is achieved sooner or later. I'm guessing later because Ronaldo scored 2 goals today in his Champions League tie, so the curse isn't in full effect quite yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that actually crosses from seemingly fake news into fake news, because that wizard's obviously crazy.
Well, yeah, except he's done it before.
He's well paid and
he's
crazy.
He's tried to curse like 7 Madrid players, so...
But he's not anti-Madridista.
No, clearly not. Clearly not. All right, and our final bit of fake news for the week comes all the way from English League 2 side Port Vale. This weekend, Port Vale played a game against Notts County this weekend. They lost 3-1, and their manager, Mickey Adams, was so incensed by the situation that he put every single player on the roster up for transfer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does Mickey Adams know that the transfer window is closed?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Is like, I don't know what you're going for, because you're saying it's not a stunt, but you can't buy or sell players for another 2 months. So it's basically telling a girlfriend you want to break up with her and then living with her for another 2 months.
And then asking her what she wants for Christmas.
Well, Mickey Adams, after the game, said, it will be fascinating to see how many offers I get from my players. There are hundreds of footballers who don't have jobs, and if ours don't want to take the profession seriously, then I don't want them. Which is an ironic thing to say because it seems like he's not quite taking his profession seriously. Because most of the time when a team's not playing very well, it's not the players that are cut. It's going to be the manager. And since Mickey Adams is on his like 700th coaching gig, I feel like he's a little more disposable at this point than any of the players.
Yeah, and that might be what happens.
Yeah, well, let's hope, because he's clearly lost his mind.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl
and Taylor
on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
So now we come to our weekly top five. In honor of the MLS discussion that we had earlier, we'll be doing our top five favorite imports. That's foreign players who've come to the MLS. So, okay. Daryl, you want to get us started?
Yeah, okay. I'm not necessarily going with the big players.
Right. Yeah, nor I, so that's good.
All right. So my number five is a guy named Andy Iro.
All right.
Okay, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
I am not.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. He's born in England, right. Liverpool, to be precise.
That's a shame.
Didn't really look like being a professional footballer, but came over to the US to go to Santa Barbara on a soccer scholarship. Was a standout for Santa Barbara. Was drafted in, I think, 2008 by the Columbus Crew.
Okay.
And is now a professional soccer player in Major League Soccer.
So he's come through the ranks, pretty much.
Yeah, and I think he's like someone who has sort of taken advantage of the very odd college draft system for soccer in America.
Right.
And has found himself being a professional player. And I don't think that was anything he ever expected to be. Even better than that, he won MLS Cup with Columbus in 2008.
Well, one player who's got some silverware of his own is my number five, Dwayne DiRosario. He started with Canada before there were any MLS franchises in Canada.
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
Started in Canada with the Toronto Lynx, went to Germany for a brief spell, then actually came to Richmond, played for the Richmond Kickers, and then went to San Jose, which actually the club moved to Houston, which is a little confusing. But he became a very prominent player.
Yeah, when Houston won the championship in 2007, he was the guy.
So he's definitely come through the ranks to the point where now, when Toronto started their franchise, he actually requested a transfer and was sent back to Toronto. So he's kind of gone full circle, and he's found his way back to Toronto. So I like the idea of a player that, you know, started in Canada and is now back with, like, you know, his country's club. It makes me kind of happy.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's good for Toronto as well to have a Canadian player as their guy. So my number four is Buna Kundul. You know this guy?
I do not.
Okay, he's originally Senegalese.
I think me not knowing the MLS player you're talking about is going to be a recurring theme.
Well, he's not necessarily a famous player, but he's originally Senegalese. I think moved over here when he was young, played for the Colorado Rapids until recently, and was transferred to New York Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. He's a goalkeeper. My favorite thing about Buna Kundul is his catchphrase, which is, "It's Buna time." And this is a catchphrase that was taken up by Colorado fans. They used to sing it. And the thing is, it's like a guy who has personality, basically, and has an impact on the league in that way, which I think there's not quite enough of that in Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Like, players who are popular with the fans because of what they do.
The idea of a personality is very important because we definitely need those in MLS. And so that's my number four, Carlos Valderrama, who I'm sure you know. If you don't know him, Google image him. He's got a giant head of hair. But more importantly, he, I think, is arguably Colombia's best player ever. He captained their World Cup team in 1990, 1994, and 1998.
I'd say inarguably.
Inarguably, okay.
If that's a word, or is it unarguably?
I think inarguably.
Not arguably, anyway.
Thank you, grammar police. But the thing for me is that he was with Tampa Bay in 1996. He went to Miami. They folded. He went back to Tampa Bay. They folded. Then he went to Colorado Rapids. Maybe some players would have gone back to their country, back to, you know, South America. He stayed in the MLS, and even when he couldn't really run anymore, he was still the assist leader for the MLS. He was a great player.
Yeah, I think maybe only a year or two ago, was overtaken as the all-time assist leader in Major League Soccer.
So he's a world-caliber player, and yet he did everything he could to stay in the MLS, and I think that shows dedication, and that's something the MLS needs, is a big personality who cares about the league.
My number three is the guy we mentioned earlier, Guillermo Barros Schelotto.
Right.
Just because of the way he came to Columbus as not a designated player, when maybe he could have been. I mean, the guy is Argentinian. He played for Boca Juniors. I mean, he was a pretty serious player. Just came to play, played hard, was creative, and it's sort of what Major League Soccer needs, like quality players without the big ego.
Yeah.
So almost just for his attitude, Schelotto is on the list there.
One player who I'd say is definitely as determined would be my number three. That's Michael Galindo.
Oh, okay.
He was born in Cuba. He played in the Cuban youth system. He made the Cuban national team, and they came here to play in the 2005 Gold Cup. And after a match against Costa Rica, he defected. He started playing in Seattle and eventually went to Chivas USA and is now like a prominent fixture on the team. So he basically went from playing in Cuba to playing in Los Angeles. Bit of a jump. But most importantly, you know, he's kind of like, I guess, the American dream, only in a Cuban version. That he kind of came from nothing and is now a professional football player.
Didn't he sort of claim asylum after the Costa Rica game?
Yes, he did.
Which I believe he also scored in.
Yes. So Cuba was upset with him for a variety of different reasons.
So my number two is also an immigrant story. It's Preki. Some people might wonder why he's on a list of foreigners, because he played for the US national team like 28 times or so. But he was actually born in Belgrade and came over to play in the US definitely at the start of Major League Soccer. I think maybe a year before, he played a bit of indoor soccer. So he was with Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City Wizards from the start. I think a brief spell in Miami Fusion before they folded.
Yeah. It's a recurring theme.
And then back to Kansas. And so he was in Major League Soccer from the start until 2005 when he retired.
Right.
Then he was a coach in 2007. And I think he was MLS Coach of the Year in his first season. So now he's very much a part of the whole Major League Soccer story. And I think it's sort of a good reflection of almost like the original American immigrant melting pot kind of deal.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I like it. All right, well, my number two will continue that theme. It's Juan Pablo Angel, who I guess is one of the bigger designated player names you can think of. He started off as a decent player for Aston Villa.
He was actually very popular with Villa.
Yeah, he did. Initially, and then injury and kind of goal-scoring droughts made him less popular, at least to the coaches. So he came to New York and pretty much lit the team on fire immediately. You know, they've gone through some up and down spells since then, but he stayed with the club and he stayed really loyal. And now he's actually the club captain. And I would say he's behind Valderrama, one of the most reputable players from Colombia, and yet another player that plied his trade and kind of made his name in the MLS.
What I like is that he's taken it very seriously.
Yes.
So now we're at my number one already.
We are.
So there are a couple of players I've left off my list because I knew they were on your list. But my number one is kind of hard to argue with, I'd say. It's Jaime Mourinho.
Oh, okay.
Basically, he's Bolivian originally. came over here, played for DC United, and he is the all-time leading goal scorer in Major League Soccer history. Mm-hmm. I think he's got maybe 130 goals. Mm-hmm. Could be more by the time you hear this.
And he and Ryan Giggs are vying for the title of never going to get old as well. Yeah. He seems to never age.
That's true, yeah. And maybe one day he'll be as old as the number on his back, which is 99. Yeah.
Well, I like your selection of a DC United player because that's the team I've supported since the league started in 1996. And therefore, my number one has to be Marco Echeverri. I'd say he's probably the best player that's ever played in the MLS.
He also Bolivian?
He is also Bolivian, yes. Wow. He's played for Bolivia 71 times and was actually awarded the Medal of Merit by their Congress for his achievements.
I read that on Wikipedia as well.
There you go. Well, it's a lovely news source. Thank you. But anyway, I would say that he was definitely one of the best players ever to play in the MLS, mainly because of his left foot, which was one of the most deadly in the game. I remember one bit of commentary that has really stuck with me since 1996 was he played one ball through, it goes through like three defenders, and it's a perfect through ball for Moreno, who finishes it. And I remember the commentator saying, that ball had eyes, which was a new thing for me, but it's stuck with me since then. He won three titles and was MLS MVP. But mostly for me, it was just the fact that he was such an amazing player to play for the club that I started supporting when I was 12.
My only knock on Echeverri
is his perm.
It's the mullet and the tight curls and the perm.
He rocks a mullet perm, which is a rare thing. But
is that brave or is that?
I just think it's majestic.
It's the majestic mullet of Marco Echeverri.
Yeah.
Your number one.
That's maybe Echeverri is number two and his mullet is number one. Maybe that's what I should say. I'm sure we missed a lot of players, and so if you've got any players that you think we missed or you've got any players that you want on your list, then feel free to send it to us at soccer@wrir.org.
So it's that time of the show again where we do the spelling bee.
It is indeed.
Where Taylor and myself challenge each other to spell a player's name. After six spelling bees so far, we've got a 50% record each, so it's
indeed.
Three each. He has three right, I have three right. Uh-huh. This week's theme is Major League Soccer, any player in Major League Soccer.
Okay.
So, Taylor, I'm going to let you go first.
All right. Daryl, I would like for you to spell Chivas USA captain Jesse Marsh.
Oh, I know it's tricky. I think I can get it there. Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Mar. And this is where you think you'll trick me, but you won't. S-C-H. H.
Again with the H, really?
Or H.
All right, I'll give you... I'm going to let it slide this time. But it's correct. Well done, Daryl.
All right. So my player for you is a player you said you hadn't heard of earlier.
Oh, God.
It's not Bruno Kundel, because that would have been hard.
Uh-huh.
It's Andy Eero.
Oh, A-N-D-Y. I-E-R-O.
Oh, very close.
Really?
It's just I-R-O.
Come on. Ugh. Oh, disappointment again. Only this time it's disappointment because Daryl's now taking the lead. Just something that
I
can't handle.
I'm just adding it up. I think if you had three and I had three before, and you got one wrong and I got one right, what does that make the score?
I believe it makes a score. I'm taking my spelling bee and I'm going home. So deal with that, Daryl. But well done. Daryl leads 4-3. I'll try to even it up next week. We'll see how it goes. All right, well, that about wraps it up for us here at the Total Football Soccer Show. Daryl, do you have any idea what time it is right now?
Just checking my watch, and it's Boona time.